I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Hey, it's Kimberly, host of the Start Me Up podcast. If you like your politics with some loose talk and salty language, you're going to love my show. I interview the coolest people like Mary Trump, Kathy Griffin, and DNC chair Jamie Harrison. The Start Me Up podcast has an easygoing, casual style and a strong emphasis on left-leaning politics. We also have frank discussions about sex and more than a few spirited rants. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup or wherever you get your podcasts and start listening today.
Hey all, this is Glenn Kirshner, and you're listening to Mueller, She Wrote.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I didn't have communications with the Russians.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
So, it is political. You're a communist.
No, Mr. Green. Communism is just a red herring. Like all members of the oldest profession, I'm a capitalist.
Hello, and welcome to Mueller, She Wrote. I'm your host, AG, Allison Gill. This is going to be a very brief episode. I'm in D.C. We were supposed to have the week off this week for Mueller, She Wrote, but there is some Mueller news. And I can't, you know me, I did an episode from an airplane bathroom. I can't not tell you about what comes out on a week-to-week basis. It's a very short episode, but, you know, a very important one. And, you know, we're covering here in D.C. at the hearings. We're at the 1-6 committee hearings this week. And so you can check out the Daily Beans to listen for all of that. That comes out every weekday morning. But along with regards to the Mueller news, there is a Fantasy Indictment League ready to go today, along with some stories about a Russian white supremacist group and a very interesting story for the sabotage segment you don't want to miss. And it's not being covered anywhere in mainstream media, and that's why I am here today. I have to bring it to you. I just have to. So let's jump in with just the facts. All right, first up, the U.S. government on Wednesday designated an individual connected to the Russian Imperial Movement, an ultranationalist white supremacist organization, as a terrorist, and sanctioned two others for involvement with the group. We can do this with foreign actors, right? We can designate them as terrorists. The organization and three of its leaders were classified as terrorists in 2020 by the U.S. State Department, the first time in history the agency has designated a white supremacist group as such. On Wednesday, the State Department announced it was designating Anton Thulin as a specially designated global terrorist, SDGT, quote, for posing a significant risk for committing acts of terrorism. Thulin, a Swedish national, traveled to Russia in 2016 and received paramilitary training from the RIM, known as the Russian Imperial Movement, including bomb making. That's according to a statement from a State Department spokesperson named Ned Price, as we know him. He was convicted, this guy, by a Swedish court in 2017, sentenced to 22 months in prison, quote, in connection with the detection of a powerful homemade bomb near a refugee residential center in Gothenburg, Sweden. That's according to Ned Price. And the State Department also said after serving his sentence, Thulin sought to receive additional paramilitary training, sought to receive it in Poland before he was expelled by Polish authorities, who cited the serious, real, and current threat to security and public order that this guy posed. The United States, quote, is designating Anton Thulin because his continued pursuit of terrorist training, even after serving a prison sentence for his role in the 2017 attack in Sweden, demonstrates that he continues to pose a significant risk of committing acts of terrorism. Unquote. The terrorist designations deny Thulin access to the U.S. financial system with the intention of making it more difficult to move money through the international system and fund his efforts and their efforts, the group that he's part of. And the U.S. Treasury also, by the way, slapped sanctions on a European-based RIM member, Stanislav Shevchuk, and Russian-based supporter Alexander Zhukovsky. Now, Shevchuk was sanctioned, quote, for having acted or purported to act or on behalf of, directly or indirectly, RIM, and Zhukovsky for having, quote, materially assisted, sponsored, or provided financial, material, or technological support for, or goods and services to, or in support of, RIM. Now, according to the Treasury statement, Shevchuk traveled to the United States in 2017 with the objective of establishing connections between RIM and far-right extremist and white nationalist groups, such as the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, etc. He also spoke on behalf of RIM at rallies in Europe and advocated publicly for the group throughout Europe as recently as 2019. Now, Zhukovsky has repeatedly used his account on Russia-based social media platform VK, formerly known as VKontakte, to fundraise and recruit for RIM. So he's been using social media to get money for this group. And since 2014, quote, Zhukovsky has raised over 200 million rubles to purchase weapons and military equipment for RIM, 200 million, and other pro-Russian fighters in the Donbass and Ukraine, and has facilitated the travel of RIM fighters to the region. So these guys who are supporting the Russian-backed attack on Ukraine were in the U.S. Giving speeches to and helping recruit for U.S. white nationalists and white supremacist groups. Since Russia began, quote, its unprovoked war against Ukraine in February 2022, Zhukovsky has continued using his social media account and online payment methods to purchase military equipment and supplies for Russian fighters carrying out the invasion of Ukraine and continued fighting in the Donbas region. Zhukovsky has also taught at RIM's RIM's Partisan Training Center in St. Petersburg, Russia, where participants receive training to conduct acts of terrorism and violence. So these guys were slapped with those sanctions and put on this list. But that's the frightening part to me is they were in the U.S. They were in the U.S. talking to white supremacists here, according to the Treasury Department, and that Shevchuk, quote, traveled to the U.S. in 2017, established connections between RIM and the far-right extremist and white nationalist groups. They're not listed here, but we can imagine. All right, with that, it's time for some sabotage. All right, this is the story that got virtually no attention. Now, granted, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the news, but a former senior FBI official who oversaw the FBI's politically sensitive investigation in 2016 into Clinton's use of a private email server and Donald Trump's ties to Russia had, quote, extensive contacts with news media in violation of FBI policy, a Justice Department watchdog report found. Now, this is, of course, not the most reliable Justice Department watchdog, as we know from previous reports that came out about folks like McCabe and Strzok. A Justice Department Inspector General review released in 2018 and an investigative summary issued last year did not name the former official, but the report made public Monday identified him as Michael Steinbach, who served as the executive assistant director of the FBI's National Security Bureau. Steinbach and had hundreds of contacts with the media for several years while heading up the FBI's counterterrorism division, and then continued such interactions in 2016 when he took up the senior national security role. That's according to a report from the Inspector General Horowitz. Quote, this media contact included social engagements outside of FBI headquarters without any coordination from the Office of Public Affairs involving drinks, lunches, and dinners. The heavily redacted 27-page report released to Politico, reported on here by Josh Gerstein, under the Freedom of Information Act, dated July 2021, does not accuse Steinbach of unauthorized disclosures to the media. However, Horowitz's office has expressed concerns that extensive unsupervised contacts between FBI officials and the media can lead to such leaks and make them harder to investigate. So there weren't actually any leaks found here. Just, you should stop having drinks and lunch with media people. The Office of Inspector General's 2018 report looking at the Bureau's actions during the 2016 presidential election said the FBI's policy on media contacts was being widely ignored and said violations of that policy appeared to emanate from a cultural attitude. One passage in the newly released report says prosecution was declined, but the remainder of the line is redacted from the copy they made public Monday. Steinbach, who retired from the FBI in 2017 after a 22-year career, did not respond to email social media message seeking comment on the report. The Inspector General report also faults Steinbach for accepting free tickets to two big Washington media galas, the Radio and Television Correspondents Association dinner in 2015 and the White House Correspondents Association dinner in 2016. The report says he was obliged to get approval from ethics officials at the FBI and failed to do so. He also failed to report the tickets on his annual financial disclosure form. The report says Steinbach had at least 27 in-person meetings with seven reporters from 2014 through his retirement 3 years later. They frequented various restaurants near FBI headquarters, including Capitol Grill, Gordon Biersch, Asia 9, and Central, according to the report, which says investigators were unable to determine who paid for the drinks or meals during these social engagements. Meanwhile, Donald is leasing out top floors of his hotel to the entirety of Saudi Arabia. But okay, the report concedes that Steinbach did engage with FBI public affairs officials about a limited number of interactions, but said that in many instances there were no records of any such coordination. Steinbach declined to be interviewed by the Inspector General's office, which has no way to compel such an interview after they retired. However, he did answer questions in another FBI inquiry a few months after his retirement, maintained that his interactions with journalists were approved. Steinbach stated that he was authorized, while EAD of NSB, to provide non-case-related information to the media as background. Steinbach said he was frequently contacted by the media for comment and questions relative to a variety of security issues, national security issues, and the media was relentless and aggressive in their attempts to get a story. But he was authorized to do this. Do you remember how they were looking into McCabe for some sort of leak to the Wall Street Journal? He was fully authorized to do that. That's why he won his pension back and you know, was found to be wrongfully terminated. While the Inspector General report called the FBI's media policy unambiguous, some FBI officials interviewed during the investigation disagreed. The policy was not clear on what was required or considered approved, and that coordination with OPA was completely undefined. That's one official whose name was deleted from the report. One official said Steinbach told him former FBI Director James Comey urged top officials to be more engaged with the press. Quote, Comey's approach entailed proactively trying to find media sources that the FBI could trust to get stories right and to protect the brand of the FBI, according to one unnamed official. The report includes numerous text and email exchanges between Steinbach and various reporters whose names and news organizations have been redacted. However, the report quotes one unnamed CNN reporter ribbing Steinbach by texting about attending the White House Correspondents' Dinner with a different journalist. That the CNN reporter said, I put you on the map and now you're cheating on me with blank, the other reporter. I keep waiting for my invite from you, Steinbach replied. A CNN spokesperson had no immediate comment Monday night. FBI Director Christopher Wray, who was confirmed in 2017, August, following Trump's firing of Comey, stressed following the release of the 2018 Inspector General report, the FBI had become too relaxed in its dealings with the media. Quote, we issued new media policy that's much stricter and more clear than has been in place before, he said back then. We will make painfully clear to everyone we don't tolerate noncompliance. FBI spokespeople did not have any immediate response to a request for comment Monday, but on Wednesday issued a statement deploring Steinbach's actions and downplaying any ambiguity in the agency's policies at the time. Quote, the FBI expects all our employees to adhere to the highest standards of honesty and integrity. When one of our own fails to adhere to these standards, we take those allegations very seriously. That's the statement from Wray. Quote, as noted in the report in 2016, the FBI referred this former employee's activities to the DOJ Office of the Inspector General for an investigation. To be clear, the former employee was in violation of our media policy then, just as he would be now, and his conduct was completely unacceptable. That's Wray. All right, it's time for the Fantasy Indictment League.
I'm going to be indicted!
No, wait, it's going to be a...
Indicted!
Honey, Dick.
Indicted!
Honey,
I'm gonna be indicted!
Oh, they can't. It's gonna be okay. Just calm down.
I can't calm down. I'm gonna be indicted!
And I'm gonna stick to the basics today, this week, with Gates, L.A. Key. That's one of the people who got one of those contracts with Joel Greenberg and the tax office, but didn't do any work. Very suspicious. And Jacob Engels. So those three in the Middle District of Florida. Actually, and I'll add a rando straw candidate donor down there because of all their straw candidate, ghost candidate schemes. Then up into D.C., I'm going to go with Sidney Powell and Rudy and Eastman. I think out of D.C., I don't know if we're going to see a Rudy Southern District of New York indictment yet. We should any moment now, but they might be waiting on the coup stuff because they seized his phones in April of 2021, all of them, after the coup. So they have all that stuff from Rudy. And maybe a plea agreement with Ali Alexander. Okay. I think also a Bertino plea agreement. He's one of the Proud Boys leaders who was raided the same day Tari was arrested. He seems to be cooperating with the committee, so I assume he's cooperating with the Department of Justice, but we haven't seen anything formal. And Donald. Yeah, I'm going to put Donald on there. I really think the Department of Justice is going to indict him, or Fani Willis will, or possibly both. We'll see. All right, thanks for listening to my short show today from D.C. Check out all the Daily Beans that are coming out this week. They're going to be good, all for my D.C. coverage. And I'm going to be back in the hearing room for the January 6th committee hearings on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And we also have out today another episode of the MSW Book Club on Ellie Mistall's Allow Me to Retort, Black Guy's Guide to the Constitution. Very, very excellent book. And happy Juneteenth, everybody. Until next time, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of the planet, take care of your mental health, and vote blue over Q. I've been AG, and this is Mueller, She Wrote. Mueller, She Wrote is written and produced by Allison Gill in partnership with MSW Media. Sound design and engineering are by Molly Hockey. Jesse Egan is our copywriter, and our art and web designer by Joelle Reeder at Moxie Design Studios. Mueller, She Wrote is a proud member of MSW Media, a group of creator-owned podcasts focused on news, justice, and politics. For more information, visit mswmedia.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, the most wildly entertaining adult beverage-themed podcast in the history of the medium. That's right, the boozy best of the best, baby. And we have the cool celebrity promos to prove it. Check this out.
Hi, I'm Allison Janney, and you're here with me on What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. And that's my sexy voice. Boom.
Boom is right, Academy Award winner Allison Janney. As you can see, celebrities just love this show. How cool is that?
Hey, this is Scottie Pippen, and you're listening to The Dan Dunn Show. And wait, hold on. The name of the show is what?
All right, sure. Scottie Pippen momentarily forgot the show's name, but there's a first time for everything.
Hey, everyone, this is Scoot McNairy. I'm here with Dan Dunn on What Are You Drinking? What's it called again?
Fine, twice. But famous people really do love this show.
Hi, this is Will Forte, and you're, for some reason, listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
What do you mean, for some reason, Will Forte? What's going on?
Hi, this is Kurt Russell. Listen, I escaped from New York, but I couldn't get the hell out of Dan Dunn's happy hour. Please, send help.
Send help? Oh, come on, Kurt Russell. Can somebody out there please help me?
I'm Dita Von Teese, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
Let me try one more time. Come on. Is that
right?
What we're drinking?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Right, is it right?
Ah, that's better. So be like Dita Von Teese, friends, and listen to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, available wherever you get your podcasts.
MSW Media.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA, as a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, show me in a courtroom how we were at war.
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing in the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, if I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized.
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.